is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
I am the change I've been waiting for, a symbol of the hope and promise of America. No, that's Barack Obama. I'm just Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and it's Wednesday already, so it's Ask Anything Wednesday. Ask whatever you want. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, with whatever's on your mind. Maybe there's a passage of Scripture you've been wondering about and thinking, you know, I just don't know how to understand that. Maybe you heard something in a sermon, or you saw something on the news, or you read something online, and you're wondering, you know, how does that fit with the way a Christian sees the world and sees reality? Whatever's on your mind, any question at all about the church, about the Bible, about theology, about doctrine, about politics, about culture, about ethics, whatever's on your mind. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. So Ask Anything Wednesday, which is the day in which you set the agenda, and I'm here to talk to you. So give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and give me a call. I'll be glad to talk to you. 877-893-8255 with whatever's on your mind. It's Ask Anything Wednesday here on the Albert Mohler Program. Give me a call, and let's talk about it. But first, in the news, John McCain wants you to know that he is not Miss Congeniality. In case you were wondering about that, he is not, I repeat, not Miss Congeniality. This is what he had to say last night in Aurora, Colorado.
My independence hasn't always made me friends in Washington. I was not elected Miss Congeniality in the United States Senate again this year. Time and again. I've heard politicians, pundits, and pollsters warn me that my position on this or that issue would cost me the presidency. But I don't answer to them. I answer to you. And you will always know exactly where I stand. And that no matter what, I'll always do what I believe is right for our country.
At the same time, John McCain is coming out hard against Barack Obama, saying that Barack Obama is the world's biggest celebrity. This is the new McCain campaign ad.
He's the biggest celebrity in the world. But is he ready to lead? With gas prices soaring, Barack Obama says no to offshore drilling and says he'll raise taxes on electricity. Higher taxes, more foreign oil. That's the real Obama.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
Don't you like that light, cheery music there at the end? John McCain is running this ad saying he wants to make it clear that he doesn't think Barack Obama is up to the job. And Barack Obama enthusiasts are saying it's too early to be getting this negative. That's not what this campaign is about. Barack Obama, though, is having to distance himself from the hip-hop star Ludacris, who has a song that's causing him some problems because it takes on Hillary Clinton and George W. Bush. And John McCain says that Hillary hated on him, and so there are some ugly, rude words that he calls her that I'm not going to use here. Also says that President Bush is mentally handicapped, and that John McCain, quote, don't belong in any chair unless he's paralyzed, end quote. Barack Obama says that the song is wrong and that Ludacris should be ashamed of running it. Speaking of ashamed, I think that the United Church of Christ ought to be ashamed for allowing up on their church blog site a letter, an open letter to Sean Hannity that accuses the host of this program, Albert Mohler, of being complicit in the shootings in the Unitarian Universalist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, the shootings there were an act of horrific violence that every decent civilized person condemns. And yet, this letter that comes from this United Church of Christ pastor writing in and saying, you know, you have people like Albert Mohler talking about liberalism, and that kind of thing just fires up this kind of violence. Now, that's just absurd. if you criticize a movement in religion, that then causes people to shoot people who hold to that movement. That's ridiculous. The thing that's surprising to me is that these are the very same people that when you had right-wingers who were blaming, for instance, the September 11th attacks on moral decadence in America, they were the ones who were so disturbed and alarmed by that kind of rhetoric. And now, look at this guy using this very same kind of kook conspiracy theorist language against people who happen to believe that there are issues that are worth disagreeing about and worth talking about and worth discussing. It's really disgusting, and I think that the United Church of Christ ought to take down something like this. The people who have this blog site up really ought to have better sense than this. But we all know that there are crackpot conspiracy theorists out there in the world, and the host of this program, Albert Mohler, takes on some of them in the new Atheism with his new book, Atheism Remix is the name of it. A Christian Confronts the New Atheist. It's going to be out in bookstores, I think they tell me, tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow. It's Thursday. This book will be available. You'll want to get this to help you think through and to help the people in your congregations think through. You know, how do you understand all of these books that are all over the shelves in your local Barnes & Noble that are saying there's a case that there's no God, that the idea that there's a God is ridiculous? Dr. Mohler takes that up in this book and shows you how to think that through, how to help other people think through issues related to the existence of God. What's your question today? It may not be that you're questioning the existence of God, but maybe you're questioning something else, something you've read in the Bible, something you heard in a sermon, maybe something a neighbor or a family member asked you about. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Whatever it is that you're wondering about, maybe something you saw on the news or something you read in the newspaper, something you saw online, and you're thinking, you know, I just am not exactly sure how I, as a Christian, ought to think about that particular issue. Let's have a time of iron sharpening iron and try to figure it out together. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and throw up whatever you've got. Your best shot today for Ask Anything Wednesday, and you can ask whatever is on your mind. But before we go to the phone lines, we have some questions that are coming in via email, via the internet, and this is one that's kind of near and dear to my heart. This comes from somebody named Terry, writing from Massachusetts. Says, my sister said that it says in the Bible that the world will never end, and yet I read in the Bible that God is going to make all things new, including a new heaven and a new earth. Can you explain this to me? Sure. The Bible does teach that what God has created in Genesis, the heavens and the earth, that this is permanent. Now, that God's declared this to be good, and we are always going to have a universe. It also says, though, that what God does is to transform the universe. So that you have, for instance, in 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter writes and talks about how God is going to burn up the present creation with fire. He compares it to the flood, where God previously judged the universe through water, now he judges it through fire at the end. But notice what God does. When God destroys the world the first time through the flood, it doesn't mean that the world is over. It doesn't mean that the entire universe is scrapped. It's purged. And so what does God do? God brings about a new creation with Noah, and in the end, God brings about that final new creation in Jesus Christ, which means that the life that we have waiting for us isn't a cloudy, spiritual, ethereal kind of a life. It's not the kind of boring idea of heaven that some people have, of this choir practice that just goes on and on and on and on. Instead, Jesus says that what our kingdom is, what we're waiting for, is a rule. It's a reign. It's a kingdom that he's giving to us in which we will live out life together. We'll serve together. We'll, as the Apostle Paul says, judge angels. It's an exciting life that we have waiting for us, a resurrection from the dead. And it's a world that everything that God declares is good will continue. That's trees and rocks and waterfalls and angels and flesh and blood. we continue on forever and ever and ever. That's an exciting vision of the future. What are you thinking about today? Maybe you're wondering about something off there in eternity. Maybe you're wondering about something going on in your neighborhood. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. It's Ask Anything Wednesday, so ask anything you want on the Albert Mueller Program. This is Russell Moore. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and we are talking today about whatever you want to talk about. It's Ask Anything Wednesday, so give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let's talk about whatever's on your mind. Whatever question you've got, ask it, 877-893-8255. First on the line, we've got Bruce, who is listening in Marysville, Washington, out in the Pacific Northwest. Bruce, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hello, Dr. Moore.
Good to talk to you.
I had a question about the NIV Bible.
Mm-hmm.
There's an archaeological study Bible that's reviewed on Dr. Moeller's website.
And yeah.
I just heard negative things about the NIV, and I just don't know if it's okay because I've heard that it's inaccurate.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's fair to say the NIV is inaccurate. I think that you've got a translation philosophy with the NIV that I don't think is the best. It's a thought-by-thought translation rather than a word-for-word translation. But the NIV is an accurate translation, and if your pastor preaches from the NIV or if you use the NIV for personal study, you've got the Word of God. You're hearing the words of God. It's not an inaccurate translation. I don't particularly find the NIV all that helpful just for me personally. It has nothing to do with the NIV translators. It has nothing to do with my thinking that the NIV is some type of New Age Bible translation or whatever. It's just so newspaper-like, so USA Today-like, that for me it's difficult to memorize. That probably is because I grew up in a church that in which all we had was the King James Version. We didn't know there were any other versions out there. And so all of the memorization that I did growing up was of the KJV. And so I tend to be kind of in the rhythm of the KJV. I kind of need something with a similar rhythm of that. And that's why I mostly use the English Standard Version, the ESV, which I really, really like. And it's helpful for me. It's easy for me to memorize. It's easy for me to preach from because I'm kind of familiar with the flow of it. But the NIV is a fine translation. It's not going to veer you away from Jesus or something like that. And the Archaeological Study Bible that you mentioned is a really helpful resource in order to look and to see kind of what's the backgrounds behind some of the things that you have going on in Scripture. A friend of mine, Dwayne Garrett, Old Testament professor here at Southern Seminary, had a lot to do with that study Bible, and I think you'll find it helpful if you pick that up and use it. What's your question today? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Give me a call with whatever's on your mind, whatever question you have about anything. Maybe a passage of Scripture you read in your private devotion time. Maybe a conversation you had at work with some coworkers. Maybe something you saw on television or in a film or on the radio, and you're thinking, you know, I just don't know how I ought to think about that. Well, let's talk about it. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Next up is Scott calling from Clarksville, Tennessee. Scott, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Moore. There's been a lot of people in my talk that's been talking about progressive dispensationalism,
mm-hmm.
and I would just like to know what that is, basically.
Yeah, well, dispensationalism, of course, is the idea that really came about in the 19th century that says that you have different times in which God is dealing with his people in different ways, and that God has two different programs for Israel and for the church. And old dispensationalism used to believe that God kind of put a pause button on Israel with the coming of Jesus, and that at that time he stopped his dealings with Israel and picked up a new work with the church, and that at the end of this age, the age of grace, that God's going to take the church out of the world and then resume his work with Israel. So the promises to Israel are to Israel, and the promises of the church are to the church. Progressive dispensationalism says, no, there's one people of God. There are not two peoples of God. There's not two programs. There's one people of God. There's one new covenant. There's one aspect of redemption that God is working out. Progressive dispensationalism, though, does still believe that what God is going to do is to reconstitute national political Israel. That in the last days, God is going to see a mass conversion of Israel. It's not just a lot of Jewish people getting saved. It's actually the restoration of the nation of Israel. God's going to keep those promises politically to the Jewish people as a nation. So that in the millennium, God's purposes are kind of centered on Israel as Israel. That's what progressive dispensationalism is about in a nutshell. A lot of your old school dispensationalists say that's really leading you right out of dispensationalism into something else. I'm not a dispensationalist because I believe, although I think dispensationalism is not heretical in any way, and a lot of my really good friends and a lot of my mentors in the faith were dispensationalists, I think instead that we have to see and understand that God keeps his promises to Israel. That means ethnic, national, Jewish Israel. But the scripture tells us that they are not all Israel who are of Israel, that they are not all of the circumcision who are of the circumcision, that instead there's a remnant. And the scripture tells you who that remnant is, that the Israel of God are those who are raised from the dead and anointed with the Spirit at the last day. Who is that? God's told us by raising him from the dead and anointing him with the Spirit, a Spirit that he has poured out then upon all of those who are united to him in Jesus Christ. But that's what progressive dispensationalism is. What's your question today? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. With whatever you want to ask, it's Ask Anything Wednesday. Be glad to talk to you. 877-893-8255. We have Brent on the line who is listening on the World Wide Web. Brent, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. I was wondering, why is the deity of Christ central to salvation?
What do you mean, why is it central to salvation, Brent?
Well, as it relates to the doctrine of the Trinity, why is it necessary that one would have to believe that Jesus was God? In order to have genuine saving faith.
Oh, I see what you're asking. Well, that's a good question, because what the Apostle Paul is saying in Romans chapter 10 is that it is with the mouth that one confesses Jesus is Lord. Now, Paul isn't just dragging that reference out of nowhere. He is citing Isaiah chapter 45, when the prophet Isaiah, speaking for God, says that every knee will bow, every mouth will confess. And what are they confessing? The oneness of God, the lordship of God. In order to believe in Jesus, we have to know who Jesus is. And that's why Jesus consistently equates himself with God and says, if you understand who he is, you have to understand, I am the way, he says. I am the truth, he says. I am the door. He uses that language that God everywhere uses of himself. And if we're going to trust him, if we're going to believe in him, if we're going to recognize who he is, we have to have the right Jesus. And the right Jesus is the Jesus who says, I'm your God, and I'm your brother. So all those old promises, you will be my people, and I will be your God, they come together in Jesus. Jesus is the people. Jesus is the God. So that if you have fellowship with your God, it's only through the one that shares a nature with God and shares a nature with you. That's good news. What's your question today? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Whatever's on your mind about religion, politics, culture, ethics, evangelism, church, whatever it is, give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
What are you wondering about today? What kind of cough drop is the best? Ricola, sugar-free, lemon mint. It's pretty good. Maybe you've got a more substantive question than that. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. It's Ask Anything Wednesday, so ask whatever you want. Whatever you're wondering about as you drive down the road or as you're sitting in your office or as you're making supper in your kitchen or whatever it is you're doing, listening to the radio right now, give me a call, 877-893-8255, and let's talk about whatever's on your mind. And let's start off with Curtis. Curtis, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, Dr. Moore. I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me on the show today.
I'm glad to.
My question was simply, look at the Sermon on the Mount. What is exactly is righteousness that counts with Jesus? There's been so much discussion, and people seem to be lost. And I'm just kind of wondering if you could help enlighten me on that subject.
On what is righteousness as it counts for Jesus, you're asking.
Yes.
Well, Jesus tells you what it means to follow Christ, what it means to inherit, as he puts it, the kingdom of God. So when Jesus is talking through the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed. A lot of times people interpret that as happy. And you think about the way that we tend to so often use the word blessed, in a kind of a light and cavalier kind of a way. Well, how are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Well, bless your heart. But blessing is a covenantal kind of a word. Blessing has to do with inheritance. So you think about the kind of language that Jesus is using. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That comes from the Psalms. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. They'll inherit those promises that are being given to Israel that come to us in the Lord Jesus. And so with the Sermon on the Mount, what you see first and foremost is the character of Jesus himself. What Jesus is saying is, this is the kind of son who inherits the kingdom, who is not cut off from the kingdom, and that is Jesus. He is the one who is perfectly meek. He is the one who is a perfect peacemaker. He is the one who blesses others when he's persecuted. You go through the whole list. He does these things. He is righteous in the sight of God, and therefore he inherits the kingdom of God. Now, what God does when he joins us to Christ through faith, through the Spirit, is that the Spirit makes those things that are true of Jesus, those moral characteristics, that righteousness, he makes that true of us as well, but in a long process. And so we're not expecting to inherit the kingdom of God on the basis of our own meekness, on the basis of our own mercy, on the basis of our own peacemaking. We're looking to Christ. We're being hidden and found in Christ. And we're confessing, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. But if we're looking to Christ, then the Spirit is going to make us like him. The Spirit is going to conform us to Jesus, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8. And God does this in various ways. He does it through the preaching of the word. He does it through discipline that happens in our lives. He does it in all kinds of ways of discipling and shaping and forming us into the image of Christ. We become that way. So you look and you see some of those characteristics that Jesus and the apostles talk about that are a righteous life. Well, That happens in the life of a believer. It's going to happen the easy way or it's going to happen the hard way. But our inheritance comes to us not because of anything that the Spirit is forming within us. It happens because we're looking away from ourselves and toward Jesus. We have Bruce on the line. Bruce, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Dr. Moore, yeah, back to your description of the heavenly environment.
Yeah.
What will saved Christians be doing in that heavenly environment? And what will be the purpose of those activities? Thank you.
All right. Bruce asks, what are we going to be doing in heaven? Well, we'll answer that question in just a moment, because I think it'll take me more than the few seconds I've got right now to answer it. But maybe in the meantime, you're thinking about a question of your own. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Give me a call. Whatever's on your mind. Maybe you're thinking thousands of years into the future, millions and billions of years into the future. Maybe you're just thinking about this afternoon. Maybe there's a question you've got about the Bible, about theology, about doctrine, about politics, about ethics, about the family, whatever it is you've got. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler here on Ask Anything Wednesday on the Albert Mohler Program. We'll be right back for your calls.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is Ask Anything Wednesdays. You can ask anything you want to. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and ask whatever's on your mind, whatever you're wondering about today. And we'll talk about it, 877-893-TALK. But first, right before the break, Bruce called in and asked, what are we going to be doing in the new earth? And a huge part of my answer to Bruce is, I don't have any idea. Because Jesus specifically tells us, and his apostles specifically tell us, that there's a lot about our life in the world to come that we don't know about and that we couldn't imagine, that we couldn't fathom if we knew about those things now. I mean, you think about it. Well, that's the same way it is with anyone's life. Could you have imagined when you were 2 years old or 3 years old what your life would be like now? What if somebody were there trying to explain to you, let me tell you why it's really important for you to get potty trained, because one day you're going to be the systems analyst for the national widget company or whatever it is you do. No, nobody's going to tell you that kind of thing. You wouldn't be able to even understand or fathom what that would be like. Same thing is true, but to a much greater degree with the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus tells us that we will rule with him over the nations. He tells us that we will judge angels. He tells us that we will be in fellowship with one another. He speaks of our life together as a wedding supper, as a marriage feast. There's a relationship that is ongoing. And so we're going to be living life. And that more abundantly, we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. And exactly what that looks like is very, very difficult for us to know, except that Jesus tells us we're in a training program right now. You're in an internship for the eschaton right now, so that those who are poor in spirit in the kingdom of this age, those who are last right now will be first one day. Those who are servant to all will one day be given positions of great authority. Jesus turns and upsets all those little kingdoms and empires that we build right now. And the kind of character and the kind of ruling wisdom and competence that we are gaining in this present age is going to show up after judgment in the kind of roles and service that we have in the kingdom. That's why when the scripture speaks about rewards, sometimes it's very difficult for people to understand the concept of rewards, because they think of crowns that the scripture mentions, and they think of them kind of the way that we think of crowns today, like tiaras for beauty queens or something. That's not what a crown meant in that world. It represented ruling authority. Jesus says you will be granted ruling authority in the age to come. And that has everything to do with how you're living your life right now. What's your question today? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. With whatever's on your mind, whatever question you have about the Bible, about doctrine, about theology, about evangelism, about the family, about the church, whatever it is on your mind, 877-893-8255, and I'll be glad to talk to you about your question on Ask Anything Wednesday. We have Charles, who's listening on XM Radio from Dyersburg, Tennessee. Charles, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. I just wanted to know if there was a biblical precedent for a pastor or a minister being fully supported by the church or being bivocational.
Okay, bivocational. The little thing up on the screen here said bivacational, so I thought maybe you were asking about taking two vacations per year, and I was going to tell you the Bible doesn't really say anything about that. But when it comes to the issue of being bivocational, I think the Scripture does speak to that because you've got examples of people in the Scripture who are bivocational. The Apostle Paul, for instance, is a tent maker. He is spending his time in a secular occupation so that he can give of himself in his apostolic ministry to the churches, which he brings up several times as he's writing to various churches in his letters. He also, though, commands the churches to pay for the upkeep of the ministry. He talks about the fact that there is an honor that is due to those who are giving themselves over to word and to doctrine, and says just as the law says that you shouldn't muzzle an ox as it's threshing out the wheat, so you ought to honor and pay for those who are laboring in word and doctrine. And so I think the question about the financial responsibility of a church to its pastor or pastors has everything to do with what God has blessed that church with. So that if you've got a small congregation that doesn't have very many resources at its disposal, then having a bivocational pastor is entirely reasonable. They ought to pay their pastor what they can pay their pastor. And we've got just an army of faithful bivocational pastors out there in the world right now. Some of the most faithful and astute pastors that I know. I've known pastors who have been janitors in hospitals during the night, and then they get up in the morning and they're studying the scriptures, they're preparing, they're leading people to Christ, they're organizing their church ministries. A lot of faithful bivocational pastors out there, but a church that has the size and the resources in order to keep their pastor devoted to the word and to the ministry, that church has a responsibility to do that. It has a biblical responsibility to do that and to honor the pastors that God has given among them. And, you know, really, what you ought to see in your congregation is you ought to see, we all see the examples of some of these television preachers that are bilking people for money and they're flying around in corporate jets. There are not a lot of people like that. The typical pastor is not in that type of situation. What you ought to hope for in your congregation is that your congregation would be so honoring of those the Lord's given in word and doctrine over you and teaching and discipleship that your pastor ought to have to say to your congregation, no, I think what you all want to do for me is excessive. And let me show you from the scripture where that's excessive. Wouldn't that be a blessing to have a pastor stand up and say, no, y'all want to pay me too much. I don't want to take that much money. I want to instead show you how you're trying to honor me in ways that are over and above, rather than having pastors who are having to worry about how to make the house payment next month. If a congregation is honoring their pastor, seeking to do right by their pastor in a way that honors his being given over to the word, that's a good thing, and that's a blessing. What's your question today? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Whatever's on your mind, whatever question you have, give me a call, 877-893-8255. It's Ask Anything Wednesday, so ask it, and we'll talk about it. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. I guess if you're a quick dialer, you can still get on here at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. It's Wednesday, so it's Ask Anything Wednesday, and we have Jackson on the line, listening on XM Radio from Brandon, Florida. Jackson, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. I've got a quick question for you.
Okay.
As far as the AFA has just issued a boycott on McDonald's because of their support of the Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. But my question is, some of those restaurants are franchise-owned, and they're not really responsible, or, you know, they can't really say what corporate does. So how do you respond to a boycott like that?
Yeah, you know, Jackson, I'm just not a big boycott guy. And maybe I'm wrong here, and I don't think that's an issue of Christian fellowship, or it's not a moral stance that I take. I just don't think that boycotts are really all that effective, especially not at the national level, whatever your issue is. I think that at the local level, a boycott can be effective. You've got a local community pick and pack store that opens up, and it's selling cigarettes to kids. You know, well, I think that it's fair for people in the community to say, you know what, we're not going to give you our business until you stop giving cigarettes to the second graders at the elementary school. That can be effective, but I think that these big national types of boycotts rarely work, and they rarely work well, I think, with Christians representing a spirit. I think that with a local situation, you have much more of a face-to-face relationship with people. You can have a spirit of Christ as you are doing the boycott in a much easier way than these big impersonal national boycotts. I'm not saying that there's never a time to do that. I'm just saying that there's rarely a time, I think, to do that. I also think that you're living in a complicated world where you could theoretically find something to boycott in everything. I think that Paul's admonition about meat offered to idols probably ought to come into play here with Christians in terms of conscience. And you're exactly right. A lot of these big national companies, whatever it is that they're doing, many of the local businesses that you frequent are franchises in which people are kind of paying for the opportunity to be part of the company, but they're being run by people who may have very different values and convictions from the national company. So your conscience tells you shouldn't go to McDonald's, fine and great, but don't mind mine. I think we ought to be able to live with one another on those kinds of issues. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is Ask Anything Wednesday on the Albert Mohler program, and we'll be back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.